Ephesians 4:31 says this: get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Just as in Christ God forgave you. Forgive one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. We're talking tonight about forgiving like Jesus. I mean, how do we forgive other people just as Christ forgave us? I mean, planning out the teaching series for the semester, planning out topics. A lot of times I'll plan in our teaching topics and series for the school years several months in advance. This one came by request. And had a student say, "Matt, would really hope that you would speak on this topic. Let's talk about this so we fit it into the schedule." Because this one can be a challenge, right? Forgiveness, forgiving like Jesus. And so that's what we're looking at tonight. Forgiving like Jesus. How do we forgive like Jesus forgave? I'm going to pray, and then we can jump into it. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to study the Word with my brothers and sisters. Pray that you would prepare our hearts beforehand to be a good soil. Till up the soil of our hearts for your Word to implant in and grow and bear a harvest of faith, a harvest of righteousness in each of us. Shape us and mold us to be the men and women of God that you desire for us to be. Holy Spirit, would you help me to communicate and speak only what you want spoken and nothing else. God, do what you please in our time here tonight. Jesus be glorified. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, so glad to see you guys. Hope you had a very good spring break. I had an unusual spring break. I had to have a very minor oral surgery, and I'm like, man, I'm going to have to like preach in a week, and I've got my mouth is healing, and again, it's all better now. So you guys are, okay, that's fine. Yeah, I know y'all were really worried. I'm feeling good now, though, and no worries at all. Some of you guys have at least a passing familiarity with a musical called Hamilton. It's a Broadway musical about founding father. I don't know what, he gets applause, okay. It's not founding father Alexander Hamilton. Some of you guys maybe at least heard that there is like a play called that, right? And that may be it. Some of you guys have chunks of it memorized, like verbatim and everywhere in between. And honestly, either way, that's totally fine, right? It's totally fine wherever you're at on that. Or if you've never heard of it, you're hearing about it for the first time tonight, then that's okay too. So all you need to know that there's a musical, and it's called Hamilton, and it's about the guy that's on the front of your $10 bill, Alexander Hamilton. This guy played an instrumental role in the American Revolution, and in the founding of the government and the financial systems we would need in the early days of America as we transitioned from colonies to a nation. And the play, the musical, follows his life, right? So we see him very young and all the way towards the end of his life, different major episodes in his life. It's a powerful play, powerful musical. And so we meet Alexander, man, this guy has hustle, right? This guy hustles, this guy works hard, he writes essays and papers and letters and works hard and hustles like crazy to get things done and moves his ways up into the ranks, works for George Washington. You heard of this guy, George Washington, works for him for a bit and has an important government position in shaping, again, the financial institutions that would help the country to work, right? So the country would be financially solvent. He gets married, marries a girl named Lysa. They have a son named Philip. So the story kind of follows the trajectory of their lives. Again, Alexander, this is the guy is all about the hustle, working hard, and there's an episode in their lives where Eliza's calling Hamilton to, "Hey, man, come up stay with me for a little bit. We're going to go on a vacation. I can tell you need rest. You need a break. Take a break. Come with me upstate. We're going to relax with the family. I can tell you need it." And gentlemen, man, if your wife someday says, "Hey, I can tell you need to relax. You need a break. You need to get away with me," you need to say yes. You need to say yes. Alexander denies. "No, baby, I got too much work to do. You go on with the family. You guys have a good time. I'm going to stay back in New York and work." Right? So that's what he does, right? He stays in New York, and he works. And while he's working there, man, he falls into temptation, ends up having an affair with a lady. This affair becomes public. He makes it public because he's being blackmailed. So he makes it public. And of course, man, he is humiliated. Man, his political career is wrecked. His marriage is wrecked. Eliza stays with him. And they, of course, got a kid together. But the relationship is devastated, right? And it's a really sad moment in the story where their relationship, their marriage, is really, really wrecked and damaged. Fast forward to later in their lives, and his son Philip dies. Maybe he dies in a duel. And so this couple that's already gone through enough has now lost a son, right? They've gone through something no parent should ever have to go through, losing a child. And so they're grieving. So when you get to the end of the play, you've got these two characters, Alexander and Eliza, that are grieving. They're broken, and their marriage is broken. Their lives are broken. They're in a sad spot when we get to my favorite song in the musical. It's Quiet Uptown, right? And so this may not be your favorite. Maybe it's not like the biggest bang or whatever, but it is emotionally resonant, right? And so they're going for a walk uptown, right? They go to church, they go and pray, and they're grieving. They're hurting, and their relationship's broken. And they're singing about that, because it's a musical, right? That's what you do, you sing about it. And they're singing about the hurt that they're going through, and there's a moment where they're standing there on stage, and Eliza, the wife, reaches for her husband's hand and grabs it. The line that they're singing in the song, there's moments that the words don't reach. There's a grace too powerful to name. And she reaches out, she grabs his hand, and then the chorus of voices there in the background sing out, forgiveness. Can you imagine? Right? They're at the lowest point of their life. And she reaches out to forgive him. When I tell you that it was like someone reached up into the balcony and grabbed me by the heart, right? When we went to go see that play. Like, I'd heard about the play. In fact, it was actually on spring break. That had students first telling me about this play. If you guys know Anna and Jade and Brandon, we're on a spring break trip to Atlanta, and they're like, "Oh man, have you heard about this play, Hamilton?" "No, no. Let us put it on the radio." And they're singing the Schuyler Sisters, and they know every word and all the parts, and they're great singers, and it was fun. So when the musical comes to town, I'm like, "Hey, Jack, we ought to go see that." And I'm up high on the balcony, but man, that moment of forgiveness, and she reaches for his hand, and it's like someone reached up and grabbed me by the heart, right? I'm in tears. I'm a mess. You know, years later, take my daughters to go see it. When it comes back to town again, same thing, right? This emotionally impactful scene of forgiveness here, right? She extends forgiveness, and it doesn't mean what he did was right, right? It wasn't. It doesn't mean they've not gone through hard stuff, but that forgiveness is powerful, right? And it resonates. And I think it resonates so much because we've all been in a place where we needed deep forgiveness like that, that we've done something inexcusable and we know we need to be forgiven. It wasn't right, and we just want to know, man, someone's going to extend grace, mercy, forgiveness to us. Forgiveness, I want you guys to think about tonight, is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. Most powerful forces in the universe. Forgiveness is so, so powerful. None of us deserve it. And it's so incredibly beautiful when it's freely given, right? But forgiveness is also difficult, right? It's difficult for us to forgive, especially when we think about what it means to forgive like Jesus. I believe that the reason forgiveness and mercy carry so much power is because they tap into something fundamental about the heart of God. And fundamental in the heart of God is his goodness, is his grace. Man, we sang about the good qualities of God tonight. In God's heart, God is a God that loves to show mercy and compassion. He's a God of justice, and he absolutely opposes sin and wickedness and evil. But he's also a God that extends grace and mercy and forgiveness towards us. And so I think the reason that forgiveness and grace, I mean, you can be watching a movie or reading a story, and there's this moment of mercy extended, a moment of redemption and grace extended, and it resonates with us so much is because it taps into something fundamentally that's in the heart of God. And then you and I, created in God's image, means it resonates with something in how we're created as well. Wow, right? Because we were made to show mercy, right? Like God shows mercy, and we're all in a position where we often need mercy, right? Because at times that we're selfish, times that we're prideful, times we do things that hurt ourselves, hurt other people, right? What the Bible calls sin, man, we all need forgiveness as well. So these moments resonate with us. We too need to be forgiven of the inexcusable and selfish things on our own lives. So forgiveness was at the absolute core of who Jesus was, and it's foundational to understanding everything that he taught. If you really want to understand Jesus, you're never going to fully understand Jesus until you understand forgiveness. It was so at the core of his life and his teaching, so much so that some of his very last words as Jesus hung dying on the cross were to forgive the very people that were murdering him. In Luke 23:34, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing," right? Can you imagine dying, right? And having the heart to forgive the people that are actively murdering you in that moment, right? To say, God, please forgive them. They don't realize what they're doing. They don't realize what they're doing, or they wouldn't be doing it. That Jesus, in the moment of his death, is extending grace, extending forgiveness. How do we forgive like that, right? It's impossible without God's help, right? It's supernatural, but that's what we want to look at tonight. This is critically important for us to understand how critically important forgiveness is to Jesus. And I take it this far. You don't fully know Jesus if you don't understand and embrace forgiveness. It's that important. You're never going to fully know Jesus until you understand and embrace forgiveness. So what we're looking at tonight is why? Why is it so important that we forgive others? Why is it so important to the heart of God that we show grace and mercy and forgiveness? You say, man, there's some people I don't want to forgive, that I don't think deserve to be forgiven, or I'd rather not. Man, so why? Why is it so critically important? You know, we talked in the breakout groups about would you rather scenarios. Would you rather be a chicken or a cow for a week, right? Would you rather live in a place that's hot or cold, right, for the rest of your life? Right now, I think cold, right? I'm kind of feeling like cold would be kind of nice. But we talk about would you rather scenarios, most of them humorous. Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, this is Jesus's most famous sermon, probably one of the most famous sermons, best sermons of all time. Jesus is preaching in Matthew chapter 6. He also presents one of the most challenging would you rather scenarios you're ever going to be challenged with. Jesus gives us one of the most challenging of these would you rathers that you're ever going to face. It's Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Matthew 6, starting in verse 14, Jesus says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." Right? So this follows in the sermon right after Jesus has taught about prayer and that key part about prayer as we ask for God, would you forgive our sins, our debts, our trespasses, also help us to forgive others, forgive the debts and sins of others against us. And Jesus says, hey, I want to make sure you didn't miss that part in the prayer about forgiveness. You need to forgive other people when they sin against you. If you do forgive other people, then God's going to forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people their sins, then God will not forgive you of your sins, period. Full stop. No caveats, no exceptions. If we don't forgive other people, he says God's not going to forgive us, period. That's hard, right? That's tough. So here's the would you rather scenario Jesus is presenting. Would you rather have all your sins forgiven, have relationship with God, right? Experience peace and joy and intimacy with God and an eternity in heaven? Would you rather that, or would you rather hold on to your bitterness and unforgiveness and pain and hurt? Which of those would you rather, right? And be separated from God forever because your sins are not forgiven, right? That's the choice you have. And you can't have both. You can't have both your sins forgiven and hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness towards someone else. That's not the option Jesus presented. He said, either, and you can forgive others. You can show grace and mercy as God's shown you grace and mercy, right? And if you do that, then God promises he'll forgive your sins, right? He'll give you a fresh start. He'll make you clean. He'll make you new. You can have relationship and closeness and intimacy with the God who loves you, the God who made you, and an eternity in heaven with him, your sins forgiven, washed clean. Or you can choose not to forgive, and then your sins won't be forgiven either, and then you're separated from God forever. That's the would you rather scenario. For me personally, I would like my sins forgiven. Is that anybody? Yeah, me too. I need that, right? I need that. It's a no-brainer, but we approach it like it's optional. Like, I can ask God to forgive me, but it's okay for me to stay mad at so-and-so. It's okay for me to not totally forgive so-and-so, but that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if we don't forgive other people their sins, God will not forgive our sins, period. Period. You can hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness, or you can have your sins forgiven, but you can't have both. You can either hold grudges and refuse to forgive people, or you can be a Christian and have a relationship with God, but you can't have both, right? He made it very simple for us. So our unforgiveness absolutely, it separates us from God, and it puts our relationship with God in jeopardy. God is deadly serious about this issue of forgiveness. And friends, we've got to be deadly serious about it as well. When there's unforgiveness in our heart, man, we need to take it as seriously as this verse does and say, no, that's not okay. No, that unforgiveness is not okay. That bitterness is not okay. I need to deal with that. And not saying that it's easy, that it's not difficult, but man, I can't just neglect it, right? In the same way I wouldn't neglect a cancer in my body, right? Now, we have to deal with that, right? We've got to deal with it. Unforgiveness makes it impossible for us to be in fellowship with God. It's toxic to our lives in every conceivable way. And the truth is, we only hurt ourselves with it, right? Our unforgiveness, our bitterness towards someone else, that only hurts us, right? And if I'm holding on to unforgiveness because, and Leroy did me wrong, right? I mean, he did me wrong in a scenario, and he really hurt me, and I'm just mad at him about it, and I don't feel like I can let that go, and I'm going to stay mad at him. In fact, every time I think of Leroy, every time someone even mentions Leroy, I get so mad. Does that hurt Leroy? No, right? The only person I'm hurting is myself, right? Pastor all the time say this, that holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and hoping the other person dies from it, right? It doesn't work that way. And your bitterness and your unforgiveness, it only hurts you. So when God commands you to forgive, when he says you need to forgive and let that go, he's saying it for your good. He's saying it from that place of the good Father who wants what's best for you, because that unforgiveness, that bitterness, that anger, that's only hurting you. It's only hurting you. It doesn't hurt them. They probably already moved on and forgot about it. They don't even know you're mad, right? That unforgiveness is only hurting you, and God wants better for you than that. God wants you to be free from that. And it's for your good that he commands you to forgive, right? You gotta say it's for your good? It's for your good. Forgiveness is hard. I get that, right? I'm not saying that it's easy. It's hard. It's incredibly hard. And I don't want to... And talking about forgiveness, diminish the pain that anybody's gone through. You say, Matt, man, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what I've experienced. For some of you, I do. And yeah, many of you, I may not. But some of you have gone through incredibly painful things. And this isn't to diminish that one bit, right? Some of you have gone through incredibly hurtful things. And so there is some deep-rooted hurts there. You say, man, it's hard to forgive. I don't know that I fully can forgive. And so I don't want to diminish that at all or say it's easier. You just need to let it go and move on. I know it's not as simple as that. But also, you can't hold on to it. You can't. You can't hold on to and experience the fullness of life that Jesus has for you. You can't hold on to and experience the nearness and intimacy with God that he wants to have with you. We've got to let it go. So we've got to work through it. And so I want you to hear, when I'm talking about forgiveness, I'm not saying it's easy. I know it's hard. And it's not to diminish what that person did to you in your past or that situation in your past. And I know that's hard. I know that's hard. We need God's help. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what helps me forgive? You guys know Matt gets mad sometimes too? Matt gets frustrated sometimes too. Some of y'all haven't seen it. Some of y'all have. Do you know what helps me forgive? The more that I think about and meditate on what I have been forgiven of, the more I think about the huge debt of sin that God forgave of me, right? The times I didn't do right. There are so many of them, right? The times that I was selfish and prideful and chose wrong and did wrong and shameful stuff and that God was willing to extend grace and mercy to me. When I think about, man, God, you forgave this huge mountain of my sin. Again, it doesn't make it easy to forgive, but it does make it easier, right, to be like, God, how can I not? You've forgiven this huge debt of mine. How can I not and forgive my brother for what they did against me after all that you've forgiven me of? The more that I think about what I've been forgiven of, man, the easier it becomes to forgive someone else. If God's forgiven me of this enormous debt, how can I not forgive someone of this smaller thing in comparison? It doesn't mean the thing's small, but compared to the debt that was keeping me from heaven, right? The debt that bound me to sin and death and hell, that God forgave that and welcomed me into the family of God as a son. If God is willing to do that for me, how can I not forgive this thing that, in comparison, right, is so much smaller? And the more I meditate on how much God's forgiven me, how much grace I've received from God, it does make it easier to then want to turn around and show that grace to others. Jesus tells a parable. We studied it last semester. If you guys are in the Kai Alpha Life groups, we've been studying the parables of Jesus all school year. Has that been good? And so last semester, we studied a parable, the parable of the unmerciful servant. Because we've studied it recently, we're not going to read it, but you guys can study it later. In the parable of the unmerciful servant, you have a king who's having people that owe him debts come before him to settle accounts. And you have this guy come before the king that owes an enormous amount of money, the equivalent of what would be millions of dollars in today's money. He owes the king, cannot pay it, right? He's bankrupt, he's broke, he begs for forgiveness. King, please forgive my debt. And the king graciously does. He forgives this huge debt that this servant owes. And so, that's really cool. What a great king. Servant walks out into the hallway and sees a friend of his that owes him money, the equivalent of like 20 bucks or so, right? He grabs this guy, and he throws him against the wall. The Bible says he chokes him. He says, you need to pay back every cent that you owe me. If you don't pay back every penny, I'm going to have you thrown in jail until you do. Right? Word gets back to the king about this servant. And how do you think the king feels about this? Oh, he's furious. He's furious. He's so angry. Man, bring that guy back in here. I forgave that huge debt of yours, and you couldn't forgive this small debt between you and this other servant? Man, get this guy out of here. You know, and punish this guy, get rid of him. And it says, and that's how God feels towards us when we don't forgive people from our heart. That it angers God, right? That he says, now forgive this huge debt of your sin, and you're still mad at him about that, and you're still holding that over his head. It grieves and breaks the heart of God and angers the heart of God. And God says, now you need to forgive people from your heart. In the same way that you were forgiven, if God forgave you with huge amounts of grace and mercy, then we need to extend huge amounts of grace and mercy. And I think from this parable, we can see that when we show unforgiveness, it shows we don't really understand the gospel. We don't really understand the depths of what we've been forgiven of. If this servant really realized how big a deal it was that this king canceled his debt, then he would not be like that in the hallway, right? Choking people, throwing them up against the wall. He would not be doing that. If he really realized, man, how blessed he was to get out of having to owe that huge debt. And I think when we hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness in the same way, we're demonstrating to God, we don't really get how much we've been forgiven of. We don't really understand the gospel. We don't really understand what it cost Jesus to purchase man, our freedom and forgiveness with his own blood on the cross. And so we're treating the gospel lightly. Right? We're treating what Jesus done on the cross lightly. And we don't fully understand the depths of it. And really spitting in the face of God's grace and God's mercy towards us. God wants you to understand. He wants you to understand. And that is one of the things that helps us to be able to forgive. Man, it all points in it. Man, we need the help of the Holy Spirit, the strength of the Holy Spirit. We need God's help. There's something supernatural about forgiveness. But also, as we meditate on realizing, God, thank you so much for all you've forgiven me of. God, thank you so much for the grace that you've shown me. Man, that's what's going to help our mindset get to the place where we can show grace and mercy to others. Your forgiveness cost God something, right? Your forgiveness cost God something. God did not simply let you off the hook or look the other way or say, okay, if you promise not to do that sin anymore, we're going to pretend it didn't happen. No, that's not what happened. For you to be forgiven, it cost God something. Man, the sin, the evil, the wickedness in my heart that God forgave, it was punished. Just I'm not the one that received the punishment. No, that punishment was laid on Jesus. And when Jesus suffered and died there on the cross, and one of the greatest miracles in all of human history happened is God the Father laid the punishment that you and I deserve for everything we've ever done wrong and laid that on his son instead. Right? And Jesus felt the full brunt of that and died. Right? The good news of the gospel is that Jesus did not stay dead, but 3 days later, and he rose from the dead, and he appeared to hundreds of eyewitnesses proving and who he was, who he proved himself to be. He was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, and he says when you put your trust in him, you can have eternal life. You can have your sins forgiven. But it cost him something. It cost him his life, right? And so when we think about the huge cost that Jesus paid so that we could be forgiven, then we need to not take forgiveness lightly. And the other thing I really want us to get is this, is when we think about how we relate to other people, sometimes we hold on to unforgiveness because it's a place of like, man, they really did me wrong. And man, if I don't punish them, then justice isn't going to be done. right? If I don't stay mad at them, how are they going to know that they did wrong? Or how are they going to know not to do that to me or somebody else in the future? Or I need to get them back, right? There's this part of me that's like, man, they did me wrong. I need to do them wrong back, or at least stay grumpy at them for a good long time, right? Like that seems like justice to us. But here's why it's not. Here's why it's not justice. Because that punishment, Jesus already took that punishment on the cross. So we don't get to punish them anymore. You guys understand? Like the punishment for everything that person did wrong to you, Jesus has already absorbed that on the cross. So when you take it upon yourself to go punish them or get revenge or get vengeance, man, you're stepping into God's shoes, right? You're stepping into the judge's shoes and saying that, no, I think they need to be punished even more than that, God. And that's not right. And that's not right. We don't get to punish other people because Jesus already took the punishment for those offenses on the cross. Right? We don't get to punish other people. That debt has already been paid. That crime has already been punished. All that's left for us to do is forgive them like we've been forgiven. Right? And so we may have a person that's really hurt us, really wounded us, and we just, man, I want to just get them back. I want to make them feel like they made me feel. Well, no, Jesus already took the punishment for that crime. Right? Jesus already took upon himself the full penalty for that wrongdoing. Right? And so it's not up to us to hurt them, to punish them. No, it's only up to us to forgive them and show them the same grace that God showed us, right? Just the way we were forgiven a huge debt, and we need to forgive them as well. And maybe it's an opportunity to share the gospel with them, right? If they don't know the Lord, they don't know Jesus, say, hey, you know what? That wasn't right, what you did, but I want you to know, man, I forgive you. I'm not going to stay mad at you. Man, I want us to be reconciled. I value this relationship. And the reason I want to forgive you is because God's forgiven me so much, right? And maybe an opportunity to share the gospel, share the good news of what God's done for us in Jesus. But we don't get to stay angry at people. We don't get to punish people with our bitterness and unforgiveness or trying to take revenge or take vengeance. No, that's wrong. Jesus already took the punishment for what they did wrong, right? All that's left for us to do is to forgive. Some of y'all will be parents someday, right? You'll have kids someday, right? And your kids will be sweet little angels. But every once in a while, they may fight, and they may bicker, and they may pull each other's hair or break each other's toys, and they get mad at each other, and you got to step in as mom or dad and step in the middle of it and administer some reconciliation and some mediation and some healing. Future moms and dads, and this is a great opportunity to share the gospel with your kids. Say, hey, you know, it was not right for him to pull your hair. It was not right for him to tear the head off your teddy bear, right? It was not right for him to break your toy or to step on you or whatever. That wasn't right. But Jesus has already taken the punishment of that, so we're not going to hit him back. We're going to forgive them the same way God forgave us, right? And every time that there's a moment where reconciliation is possible, that's the time to remind ourselves of the gospel and remind other people of the gospel. God's forgiven us, so we need to forgive one another. So that's where we get to that verse we read at the beginning in Ephesians 4. This is why Paul writes, be compassionate to one another and forgive one another just as Christ forgave you, just as God in Christ forgave you, saying, hey, you guys, if y'all want to follow Jesus, you need to understand forgiveness. You need to understand this huge debt that you've been forgiven. You need to understand that God's grace towards you cost Jesus something, right? And so we need to show grace and mercy to others because we've been shown such rich grace and mercy. And if we're not forgiving others, we're demonstrating to God that we don't really fully appreciate or fully even understand the grace and mercy that he's shown to us. So God, help us. Help us to realize what we've been forgiven of. And help us to realize and understand your grace and mercy. God, help us to forgive other people like you've forgiven us. Paul writes similarly, this is Colossians 3:13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And what an interesting turn of phrase. Make allowance for one another's faults. Is anyone in here perfect? No. No, okay. Oh, just Chloe, okay. Nobody in here is perfect. We all have faults, right? So why are we so surprised, astonished, flabbergasted when our friends and neighbors have faults as well, right? When they have shortcomings, when they get on our nerves and aggravate us, when they intentionally do something that hurts us, makes life more difficult for us, hurts our feelings, We're shocked. Now, we know we're not perfect, but we're shocked when they're not. Now, Paul says, make allowance for their faults. Like, be prepared that the person you love is going to hurt you sometimes, right? Be prepared that this person in your life, and they're going to do something wrong, right? And go ahead and decide, I made an allowance for that. You're going to hurt me. I'm going to choose in advance when you do to show you grace and mercy and forgiveness, like God shows me grace and mercy and forgiveness when I've got to offend him every day. Got to. Maybe hourly, right? Maybe minutely. Is that a... I don't know if that's a word. I have to imagine I'm always offending God, right? That's what I'm getting at. And God makes allowance for my faults, and he shows me so much grace. I need to show the people in my life grace as well. And I need to show them mercy as well. I need to make allowance for those faults and be quick to forgive them when they offend me. Not if they offend you, but when they offend you, may show them grace and mercy and forgiveness. Remember, the Lord forgave you, and we must forgive others. One last verse we're going to look at, and we'll wrap up tonight. This is back to the Sermon on the Mount where we started, this time in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Jesus is teaching again, man, talking about prayer, talking about forgiveness, and he says this, verse 23, Matthew 5. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, and first go and be reconciled to them, then come back and offer your gift, right? Not many of you guys are offering a gift at an altar, right? But you're having your prayer time with God. You're spending time in God's presence in prayer, or you're in your word, or you're in your worship time, or you're maybe in a corporate worship setting like this, when worshiping at church or with your brothers and sisters. You're in that time of worship. You're in that moment of communion with God. You're there praying, and you remember, oh, yeah, and me and Jalen had that fight earlier. We've not made up yet. This is what God says. This is how serious forgiveness and reconciliation is to the heart of God. God says, stop praying. Stop. And go make it right with Jalen or whoever. Right? Go make it right. God says, stop praying. Leave your gift. Go make it right. I'll wait. This is how important forgiveness is to God. God says, stop praying, stop worshiping, I'll wait. You need to go make it right. And then you can come back. Then you can worship, right? Once you've extended forgiveness and grace, once you've been reconciled, or maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you're the one that did wrong and said, Jim, please forgive me. And I was an idiot. Please forgive me. I was so rude. Please show me mercy. I can't believe I did that. If you're praying and you're worshiping, and a lot of times that's when it happens because you're near God, so the Holy Spirit will put something on your heart or put a finger on something, you'll remember, oh, yeah. God says, stop praying and deal with it. Oh, I'll text him when I'm done. I really like this song. I'll text him when this song's over. God says, stop. And reach out to them, make it right. God says, oh, wait. This is how important it is to the heart of God. This is how important forgiveness and grace and reconciliation is to the heart of God. If you're holding on to bitterness, then don't keep pursuing God in worship. Don't keep pressing through that prayer time like you're not mad at so-and-so, like you're not holding on to that bitterness and unforgiveness. Now we need to show them grace and mercy. God says, wait, you go deal with that, and then come back. And he's going to help you, right? He's going to help you show grace and mercy. If you decide, man, I want to be a person that forgives other people's faults. I want to show grace and mercy to others. God, I've been holding on to this unforgiveness for a long time, and I don't want to continue to. I don't want to hold on to this bitterness another day, another hour. God, I don't want to be done with it. And the Lord's going to help you with that, right? And I said, man, it's not easy. It's difficult, but God can help you with that. Right? To show them grace, to show them mercy. Forgiveness and reconciliation are so important to the heart of God that Jesus says, even if you're in the middle of praying, in the middle of worshiping, and you remember there's someone you need to forgive or ask for forgiveness from, God says, go and do it immediately. I'll wait. Right? And like I said earlier, man, I know it's difficult. I know some of you guys have been through truly harrowing situations, been terrible, terrible situations and interactions. There's deep hurts there. But ask the Lord to help you to forgive. And it may not be, you know, immediate, right? That the feelings and emotions of that hurt just disappear. It may take some time for healing to happen there. But you can choose in this moment, I'm going to at least walk towards forgiveness, right? Just as God forgave me, I'm going to walk towards forgiveness. And it may take a while for my emotions to catch up with that choice, but I'm going to choose in this moment, I've forgiven them. They don't owe me anything, right? Just as that huge debt was canceled on my behalf for God, they don't owe me anything anymore. Man, I may still get a little frustrated when I think about them. God, please deal with my emotions. Help my emotions to catch up. Bring healing to those deep hurts. But I'm not going to just stay mad and angry forever. I'm not going to hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness forever. Jesus has already taken that punishment on himself. All that's left for me to do is forgive. Now, this doesn't mean that every person that's hurt you, you immediately trust again, right? Forgiveness and trust is different, right? You're not going to put yourself in a position to be repeatedly abused, hurt, harm, right? You use wisdom, discernment, and judgment, and God's put people in your life to give you wise counsel. But we don't get the choice that I'm just going to hold on to forgiveness for the rest of my life. That's not an option, right? So be wise, and be wise about trust and boundaries and all those kind of things. And I want to encourage you guys, you can't hold on to forgiveness. You can't. Jesus says either or. It's either or. Man, you can be a Christian, you can have intimacy with God, you can have fullness of life and have your sins forgiven, or you can hold on to that unforgiveness and say, man, but you can't do both. You can't do both. So I encourage you guys, as you think about, maybe even as I've been talking tonight, you've thought of that person, that even the mention of their name would make you like go somewhere, right? Or you think about that situation, you're like, man, or this organization, or maybe it's a group of people, and you're like, man, I just, it really made me so mad, or that I can't believe, they don't even deserve it, man. Well, none of us do, right? I don't deserve it. Did you deserve being forgiven by God? None of us deserve it, right? And that's what makes grace is so powerful, so beautiful. And the same way we didn't deserve it when God forgave us, man, we need to show grace and mercy even we don't feel like people deserve it. We need to show grace and mercy even to people that don't ask for our forgiveness. Man, sometimes I'll be counseling a guy and we'll be talking about an issue of bitterness or forgiveness. And yeah, I guess if he came and apologized, I'd forgive him. Don't wait till then. Don't wait. Go in and choose to forgive him now. If he apologizes, great. But then if he never apologizes, you're still right with God because you've been obedient and you've forgiven that sin. You've forgiven that fault. And don't wait for them to apologize. If y'all can go and have a good conversation and be reconciled, great. But don't say, well, I'm just going to wait for them to make the first move. Let me tell you guys, that's nowhere in Scripture, right? You go and be reconciled. You go and forgive. You forgive them their faults. Some faults you may forgive them of, and y'all never even bring it up in conversation because it may be a minor thing. It really aggravated you, but they don't ever really need to know about it. You don't need to come and say, I forgave you this morning in prayer. No, you don't need to do that. And just let it go. Just let it go and show them grace and mercy. Some stuff's more serious. Some stuff you need to talk about for the health of the relationship. But there's so many offenses that we can just show grace and just let it go. Just let the Lord deal with it. Deal with our emotions. Deal with that anger. And show grace like we've been shown grace, right? And so what does this mean for us? What does this look like for us? I want to take a moment and just pray that the Lord would help us with forgiveness. Because like I said, I know it's hard. I know it's hard, but it is possible. And God wants to help you with it. And God wants you to more fully understand his grace and mercy and forgiveness towards you so you can know his heart better, so you can be more like Jesus, right? And so we're going to spend some time praying and meditating on that and asking God to help us forgive. God is deadly serious about forgiveness. If we do not forgive, we cannot expect to be forgiven. We must forgive others as the Lord has forgiven us. Forgiveness demonstrates that we're being transformed by the gospel and that we understand the debt that Jesus paid for us. Amen? Would you guys close your eyes? And let's bring this to the Father. Bring this to God. God, we want to be people that forgive. We want to be people that are like you, God, rich in mercy, abounding in love, quick to show grace, quick to show mercy, quick to forgive. God, help us to be those kind of people. There may be some people here tonight that say, man, I've got stuff I need to be forgiven of. There's things I need to confess to God. I need God's forgiveness. If that's you tonight, then I encourage you, bring that to the Lord. Ask his forgiveness, man. And the promise of 1 John is that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And bring that to God. He's quick to forgive, to show you grace, to show you mercy. Be honest with him. Be real with him. He can handle it. He wants to show you grace and mercy. And for those of us that have someone in our lives, maybe a person, maybe it's a group of people, an organization that we need to forgive, and even thinking about them gets us so angry, so frustrated, so hurt. Lord Jesus, would you help us forgive as we've been forgiven? Help us to forgive as we've been forgiven, God. God, you've been so good to us. And when we were far from you, when we were enemies of God, and we wanted nothing to do with you, God, and we did everything wrong, that's when Christ died for us. That's when you extended grace and mercy towards us, God. And you forgave this huge debt of our sin.
that kept us from relationship with you, that kept us from eternal life, God, you forgave all that. Help us to forgive others. Help us to forgive others. And it doesn't mean what they did was right. It wasn't. It wasn't right. But God, all the same, God, help me to forgive. Help me to cancel that debt. Help me to resolve in my heart that they don't owe me anything. And I'm going to choose not to stay angry and bitter and mad at them. Holy Spirit, would you work on our hearts and our emotions, God? Help our emotions to catch up with that reality. And where there are deep hurts and scars in our heart and our mind, Jesus, would you bring healing? Restore our hearts. Restore our minds. Guard our hearts. Guard our minds with your peace, Jesus. Help us to come to a place where we experience being full healing with that thing that used to hurt, that used to sting so much when it hurt so much anymore. And we can walk in the fullness of the grace and the mercy and the life that you have for us, God. God, I pray that we'd resolve in our hearts that we're not going to hold on to bitterness towards anyone. We're not going to hold on to unforgiveness towards anyone. We're going to resolve to make allowance for people's faults. And when people offend us, when people hurt us, we'll be quick to show grace and mercy and forgiveness and so model the character of Jesus. Shape and mold us to be those men and women of God that are like Jesus in every way, God. Help us be people that forgive. Help us to let it go. That it wouldn't be a burden, a weight around our neck any longer. It wouldn't be a poison we keep sipping from that's only hurting us. Jesus, help us to experience the fullness of the freedom that you bought and paid for with your own blood on the cross. Freedom not just from our sins, but freedom from being just ate up with bitterness and rage and unforgiveness and anger. Set us free, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. We love you, Lord. Help us to walk in obedience. God, help us to make the most of every opportunity to demonstrate the gospel and our forgiveness and to share the gospel, the good news of the grace and mercy you've extended to us with others, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Would you rather? Would you rather?